May amend motion for new trial of Leo Frank. The Atlanta Journal, Tuesday, the 14th of April, 1914, page 2, column 1. Solicitor Dorsey has intimated that he will contest any effort by the defense to amend the motion as served on him, and as a result, a court fight Thursday over the point is probable. The extraordinary motion for a new trial of Leo M. Frank, as served on the solicitor more than 2 weeks ago, will be awarded in all probability when it is formally filed in the criminal division of the Superior Court on Thursday morning. It is not expected, however, that the defense will attempt to incorporate any of the findings of Detective William J. Burns in any amendment to be filed on Thursday. When the motion is filed, Judge Ben H. Hill, if he entertains it, will set a definite date for the arguments, and that will be about Tuesday, April 28th. Therefore, before the argument on the extraordinary motion is commenced, Burns will have made his report on the case, and another amendment, incorporating any new evidence the famous detective has found, will be filed. Attorneys for the defense of Frank refuse to discuss the proposed amendments or what they will contain. When the extraordinary motion is presented to Judge Hill, if he entertains it and issues a rule nisi, setting a date for the hearing, the same order will contain a stay of Frank's execution on next Friday. The execution once stayed means that Frank, in the event his motion is lost, must be arraigned before the Superior Court and sentenced for a third time. Burns had not returned to the city on Tuesday, and Dan S. Lahan, who is in charge of the Burns forces in the chief's absence, said that very likely he will not return to Atlanta for several days. Lahan expects Burns to make his report soon after his return to the city. He asserts positively that Burns has made the trip on an angle of the investigation. Lahan declares that aside from Chief Lanford of the city detectives, no one has answered Burns's offer of a $1,000 reward for the person who will furnish him with evidence proving that Frank is a pervert. Except for the statement of Conley at the trial, parts of which are inconceivable, says Mr. Lahan. We have found not a scintilla of evidence to support the perversion charge. The Journal's letterbox editor, The Journal. It might be considered presumption for one of the congregation to suggest to, criticize, or advise the pulpit. But we are all human, and whether in the pulpit or out of it, are apt to make mistakes. And the most learned and lofty can often learn of the most ignorant and lowly. In this time of intensive living and action, it is the danger of bursting the boundaries of propriety that we should all guard against, and should perhaps press the brake pedal harder rather than open up the throttle wider. Pardon me then for a few thoughts that have engaged my brain while I sit by the wayside and look on. The pulpit is and should be regarded as the leader in all that is elevating, steering clear of all that tends to lower the standard of life. The pulpit should familiarize itself with the common walks of life, analyze the pulsation of the hearts of the people, breathe the atmosphere of the hustings, only for the purpose of being able to apply the proper remedy under the gospel as taught in the Bible. The pulpit should observe the methods adopted by the hustings and the political platform, only for the purpose of being able to steer clear of the objectionable features which tend to attract the public mind to such an extent as to make it lose sight of the more serious and important responsibilities of life. We should expect the pulpit to avoid methods which would lead us to believe that the gospel truths have lost their interest and power, and are dependent upon worldly methods to draw a hearing from the people. The pulpit should rely upon the power of God through Jesus Christ, and not sensationalism, to arouse the people and fill the pews of our churches. We naturally expect the state, the political platform, and even the lecturer to advertise and use all sorts of catchy methods of drawing attention. And the play to be presented, the candidate to be advocated, and the subject to be treated must of necessity be paraded before the public long before the appointed time if a hearing is obtained. The names of the teams which will contest upon the athletic fields must be advertised for days if the sportsman reaps his reward at the entrance gates. The press must carry big headlines and strong cartoons if it would swell the circulation and make money.